Rosalie Carter wrote, "I think I shall never, or God will never send a gift so precious as a friend." And I know that all of us can appreciate those words because of the friendships that we cherish. And again, if you're visiting with us today as a friend or family member, we want you to know that we're glad that you're here and that we cherish your friendship, the relationship that we have with you. I want to remind you of a few qualities from the Word of God about true friends. Most of these will come from the book of Proverbs, so I invite you to open your Bibles there to the book of Proverbs. We'll begin in chapter 17, but notice this, that a true friend will be constant. A true friend will be a constant in your life. Proverbs 17, verse 17, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." That last part has puzzled me. A brother is born for adversity. I began wondering, what does that mean, that brothers cause adversity in your life? And my older brother may have said that is true at one time. I hope he still doesn't say that. But no, a brother is born to be a blessing to you in times of adversity. So brothers, friends, love at all times. They're always loyal. A friend loves you all the time, another version states it, and a brother helps in times of trouble. There was a football coach that coached in the early 70s for the UCLA Bruins. Pepper Rogers was his name. And one season during his tenure there at UCLA, he did not have a good season. And so the alumni and the fans began giving him a hard time, and in the interview, he was saying how during that time, he didn't feel like he had many friends. Well, and he remembers with a smile what his wife did. Well, Roger said, "My dog was my only true friend during that time. And I told my wife that every man needs at least two good friends." And so what did this loving wife do? She bought him another dog. Oh, but we all need those friends, don't we? I read a statement earlier this week, there's nothing friendlier than a wet dog. And that seems to be the case so many times. But perhaps we learn from dogs, even wet ones, that value of always being a friend. What is a friend? A British publication once offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. And among the thousands of answers received were these: one who multiplies joys, divides grief, and whose honesty is inviolable. Another, one who understands our silence. And you know that a true friend understands not only what you say, but what you don't say. Another, a volume of sympathy bound in cloth. Yet another, a watch that beats true for all time and never runs down. That would fit Proverbs 17, verse 17, wouldn't it? But the winning definition was this: a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. In fact, Walter Winchell was credited with this statement, a similar statement: a friend walks in when everyone else walks out. Folks, if you have that kind of friend who is a constant in your life, you've got a true friend. Because true friends love at all times. When things are going well, when things are difficult, a true friend will be there. Number two, a true friend offers correction. That's a true friend that will offer correction. A true friend will tell you what you need to hear. Maybe not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Faithful are the wounds of a friend, indicating to us that sometimes what a friend may tell us may hurt, it may wound us. But we know that words from a friend can be trusted, that even though they may hurt, they may wound us for a while, we recognize they were said in our best interest. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Perhaps our minds could go to that time in the garden where Judas led this band, this angry mob to Jesus, having told the high priest that the one that he kissed would be the one that they were looking for, Jesus. And immediately he went up to Jesus, the scripture says, Matthew 26:49, and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. And that's when Jesus was seized. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. Psalm 141, verse 5. Notice this with me. "Let a righteous man strike me," the psalmist says. "It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it." In other words, let a righteous man, let a friend rebuke me. Why? Because it's a blessing in disguise. Again, wounds from a friend can be trusted because they're spoken in our best interest. A true friend tells you the truth when you need to hear it. Paul asked the Galatians question in Galatians 4:16. "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" It's a rhetorical question. The answer is already there. The answer obviously is no. I'm not your enemy because I tell you the truth. Because a friend, not an enemy, will tell you the truth. So how does that work? Here's a brother, a friend, who is in sin, wrapped up in sin. There's no question about it. What does a friend do? A friend doesn't ignore it. A friend calls sin what it is. But a friend also cares. A friend says, "I will help you conquer." A friend is a compassionate brother who tries to help you and help salvage your relationship with God. Carrie Knight relayed this quote, "A friend never gets in our way except when we are on the way down." If you've been headed down the wrong path and a friend stepped in, folks, that's a true friend. That's a true friend. An old Jewish proverb states it like this: a friend is one who warns you. A friend cares enough about you to know that if you're headed down the wrong road, it's going to be a real friend that has the courage to step in the way and to warn you about the course of your actions. Here's another proverb, same chapter, chapter 27. Now, verse 9. "Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel." In other words, the sweet smell of perfume and oils is pleasant, but so is good advice from a friend. A true friend will offer good counsel, will even offer correction out of love and concern for us. If you've got a friend like that, you've got a good friend, a true friend. Thirdly, a true friend is one who instills courage. Who instills courage. We go down to verse 17 of Proverbs 27. First, notice this quote: "A friend is one who knows you, knows who you are, understands where you have been, accepts what you've become, and still gently invite you to come." I read this past week that Henry Ford was having lunch with a friend, and he asked his friend, who is your best friend, or what is a best friend? And his friend was silent at that question, and Ford went on to say, "Well, I'll tell you who your best friend is." And he wrote down this sentence for the man to read and for him to keep: "Your best friend is he who brings out the best within you." Your best friend is one who will bring out the best within you. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You know, iron sharpening iron. There may be sparks that fly. There may be, again, that those wounds that are mentioned in verse 6 of 27. But that interaction and that sharpening causes us to be improved. It helps us. And friends, instill that courage and offer that help to help us become more of what God wants us to be. One of the beautiful friendships in all Scripture is between David and Jonathan. That's why I said years ago, if God ever blessed us with a son, we'd name him Jonathan David. And thankfully, my wife was agreeable to that. But Jonathan and David, a splendid friendship as you read about it in the Scriptures. I wish I could tell you a lot about that friendship, but I just want to highlight one thing. And from what I read, this is one of the last things that Jonathan did for David before Jonathan was killed. We read about it in 1 Samuel 23, verse 16. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. Or helped him find strength in God. You remember the context, don't you? You remember how David, up and rising, Saul, Jonathan's father, was king. David was on his way up. David had killed his 10,000, Saul his thousands. And there began to be that envy and jealousy on behalf of Saul towards David. Saul, even in madness, tried to take David's life several times. But here, who befriended David but the king's son, Jonathan? And so Jonathan would try to protect David and help him. And even though David has to hide at times, Jonathan seeks him out on this occasion and helped him find strength in God. That's a true friend. One who will seek you out when you're going through some difficulty. And will help you find strength in God. We need friends who will encourage us to live for Jesus. These are our greatest friends of all. These are true friends. I think about Barnabas, the son of encouragement, meaning an encouraging person. He was always busy encouraging others. And we read in Acts 11, verse 23, when he, that is Barnabas, arrived at Antioch, and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad, and notice, encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all of their hearts. What wonderful encouragement. That was the best encouragement that could be given to these new Christians. To remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. If there's a friend who seeks you out, and not only seeks to encourage you, but especially to remain faithful to the Lord, that is the greatest friend of all. A friend, a true friend, instills courage in us to follow Jesus. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I believe many of you have friends like that. Friends that when you've been going through a difficult time were right there. They were present. They were constant in your life. They stuck with you even closer than a brother. I want all of us to realize this morning, you've got a friend. I'm not just talking about other people in this auditorium that can be true friends to you, though that is the case. But I'm talking about another friend, a true friend, that wants to be the greatest friend of all. Jesus is the best friend that you could ever have. He is a constant. In Matthew 28, verse 20, after Jesus gives what we call the Great Commission to his apostles, he says, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll be present with you. By the way, Jesus was about to ascend back up into heaven. But yet he assures his apostles, and we can have that same assurance that he is with us. How would he be with them? He would be with him through his Spirit. He is with us. He is a constant. He is with us always. He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What a friend we have because of his being a constant in our lives. But Jesus also loves us so much that he corrects us. We find instruction in the Word of God where Jesus would even say some challenging things to those who thought they were right with God. They were really self-righteous. He would say things like this in Matthew 7, verse 5. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus would say those challenging things to the people around him. He would say some things that would hurt. But again, faithful are the wounds of a friend. What Jesus said and what we have recorded for us in his Word are those things that will challenge us and that will correct us. But we need to recognize these things are revealed to us for our good. It's because of the love that God has for us, the love that Christ has for us, that he's corrected us with his teaching. And he counsels us. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He counsels us. He tells us if we would enter into heaven, we must do his will. We must follow his counsel. You've got a friend, if you'll accept him, the greatest friend of all in Jesus. He invites us to be his friends, but there's a condition on our part. In the passage that Byron quoted for us, John 15, greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus exhibited that greatest love of all by going to the cross on our behalf. He laid down his life for his friends. He paid the price for our redemption so that we can be saved from our sins. And then he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You want to be Jesus' friend? Then do what he says. Obey him. That's how we demonstrate our love for him. That's how we accept his friendship, by saying, I will follow you wherever you want me to go. Is he your friend? He's extended the invitation. It's up to us to accept it. It may be that there may be one or more this morning that desire to accept that offer of the greatest friendship, that saving relationship that's found through Christ. It may be your desire to accept that offer by believing Jesus, putting your trust in him, by turning from sin in repentance, ready to confess Jesus before this assembly, even this morning, and being baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away, so that you can become more than a friend, but even a brother in Christ. It may be that as friends of Jesus, as those who have become Christians, we have not been living faithfully to him. Perhaps there are changes we need to make. Perhaps there are some that desire the prayers of the church on your behalf. If that be the case, Jesus' offer is there if you'll accept it on his terms. And won't you come right now as we stand and sing?